Okay, round 766. Last time we discussed the introduction to the Korbanos of the Nesiim and the Korban of the first day of Nachshon Ben Aminadav. Okay, Bayim Hasheni. Okay, Pasik Yudches. Okay, Bayim Hasheni in the second day. Hikav Nisano Ben Suar. Nisano Ben Suar brought with the head of Yisachar. Why was the second day Yisachar, even though Reuven came and said, hey, Yehuda goes first, I understand, but I should be second. I'm the firstborn. So Meshach Rabbeinu said, this is what Hashem said, because he did based on the Dugolim, based on the way they traveled.
Rabbi, I'm sorry, do you know what page it would be in here?
If you give it to me, I would know. I don't...
That's a good idea. Thank you. I'm sorry.
So he says, Hashem said the way they travel, after Yehuda comes, here, top of the page.
Thank you so much.
Hashem said that's the way it is. Another reason Rashi brings down from Yesedah Shel Ramesha Darshan, who is a teacher of Rashi, he says because the Eitzah, the idea of this whole thing, came from Yisachar. Nisano Ben Suar was the one that gave the Eitzah of what to bring. Okay? Last time we discussed a little bit what each korban brings, but it's very interesting, when you learn the Chumash with the Rashi, Rashi does not comment by the first day the meaning of each korban. When it comes the second day, Rashi starts explaining each of the korbanos what it represents. So the question is why on the second day, not on the first day? So the explanation is very simple. On the first day, Rashi is not explaining in Pshat, but this is what they brought. When it comes to the second day, Rashi is bothered by a question. Why is the Torah repeating the same thing again? And again, and again. 12 days, it says the exact same carbon. Why is the Torah... So now when it comes to the second day, Rashi says, 1 minute, now we have a question. Why is the Torah repeating exactly the same carbon? Physically, it's exactly the same carbon. The Torah should have said, this is the carbon, and you want to mention all 12, okay. Say, this is the carbon that Reuven brought, Shimon, Levi, and the finish. You have to go through all the psukim again and again. So Rashi explains, because there's a significance in each carbon. Like Rashi said, like we learned, Karis Kesev equals 930, as much as other Medishin lived. 130 is, he gave a birth, you know, to shame at 130. Mizrach and Kesef, it equals 500. Neach gave birth after 500 years. 70 shekel, the 70 nations. Rashi goes through the whole thing. What's very interesting, in the Medrash, Rabbah, Mamla is being down Bekitzer, each korban, each leader, had a different intent with each one of these things. For instance, Yisachar, which represented Torah, Yehudim, they're the ones that study Torah all day. Instead of 130, like Yehuda, representing when Adam Edition gave birth, he says 130 is the age Yocheved was when she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. So when he brought it, his Cheshbon, his Kavana, wasn't the kavanah that Yehuda had. Shimon, in other words, it's phenomenal, the medrash over here, I'm not going through all the details because it'll take too long, each tribe, the kavanah of each tribe, but each tribe brought the exact same physical korban, but the medrash goes through each tribe, everything had a different meaning. Huh?
Amazing.
He says, for instance, okay, Yisachar represents Torah, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he says, what does Karis Kesef mean? Keneged HaTorah, which is likened to Lechem. And they made the Karis into the Lechem upon him. And then he says, why did it weigh 130 shekels? I'm talking about Yisachar now. Because 24 books of scriptures, Shisha Sidra Mishnah, that begin with a Mem and end with a Mem, that's 80. Another 24 is 124. 6 generations until creation. And he goes, until the Torah was given. So for instance, because Yisachar represented learning Torah, everything of his korban is connected to Torah. Yehuda represents the creation of the world. The Zevulun represents the partnership with Yisachar. Karis Kesef is the Yam. Everything he goes through, and this is a phenomenal lesson, by the way, if you think about this. Many people, when it comes to Yiddishkeit, especially if you talk to people that are not involved in Yiddishkeit yet, not, you don't hear it so much today. In the 60s, we used to hear it a lot. We used to go out, you know, with speaking to people about Yiddishkeit. They said, there's no personal Yiddishkeit. It's all, you know, you have to put on the tefillin, I have to do this. There's no personalized Yiddishkeit. Everybody's doing the same thing. You know, everybody's putting on the same tefillin, everybody's putting on the same talis, everybody's lighting the same candles. Where do you have, as you quoted it, where do you have the individuality in Yiddishkeit? This was a big complaint in the 60s, amongst many others. But here you see an interesting thing. 12 people brought the exact same physical korban, and no two people had the same intent. No two people were the same. Physically, they were the same. Physically, everybody brought the same korban.
Why did they do physically the same and the intent?
Because they, this is, and this is a unique thing. Why do we each one wear the same tefillin? Because Hashem says there's two aspects in Yiddishkeit. There's the unity, the achdus, and at the same time, no two people are the same. And in fact, you see this, the Rebbe mentioned this many times, you see this in the Sefer Torah. These two, the Sefer Torah, right? The essence of Yiddishkeit. You see two opposite things in the Sefer Torah. If there's one letter missing, a tiny yud, the smallest letter, is missing all the way at the end of the Torah. Yeah? The whole Torah, even at the beginning, is not kosher. Right? L'chayra, why? The end, okay, don't read that parsha, but the rest of it, you know, why isn't it good? You have a little moldy food at the end. You cut off the end and the rest is good. So, like, why can't you read from the Torah at the beginning if the end is no good? That's one din. And from the, so therefore, what's the answer? Because it's one achdus, unity. It has to be united. Yet, there's an interesting halacha. If two letters touch, if two letters in the Sefer, the mistake, the Sefer, you know, made two letters touch, it's called a negiyah, two letters touch, the whole Sefer Torah is also not kosher. So, it doesn't make sense. Here you're saying unity, unity, unity. And here you're saying if two letters touch, what's more achdus than two letters touching? It's not kosher.
It depends.
Because then all the rest are not touching.
And now they're talking about women and men, separate. What, no, if you stop to think for a second. Mimanashach. How do you look at it? If you want to say achdus, okay, then what do you care if two letters touch? If you want separation, so who cares if it's at the end not kosher? It's a separated book anyway. Because Torah has in it both opposite things. And this you see here from this. From one side, everybody's doing the same thing. Everybody's putting the same tefillin, the same Shabbos, the same kosher, the same everything. From the other side, though, everybody serves Hashem differently. No two Jews do it the same way. No two Jews in the world light Shabbos candles or ben shlich or tefillin or that. No two Jews do any mitzvah the same way. Physically, yeah, physically you're putting on the same tefillin. But the intent, the kavana, the feeling, the enthusiasm, the excitement, whatever, no two Jews do it the same way. And this is what we see from these korbanos. Physically, each one brought the exact same korban. Yet the Medrash says, no, Yehuda represented this, and therefore everything of his korban represented that. Yisachar brought this, Ephraim, Menashe, I mean, everybody's different. And this is an interesting thing. There's an once in Arka mentioned this a number of times. There is somebody once wrote an article, the difference between a Rav and a Rebbe. Difference between a rav and a trust me, there's zillions, trillions of differences. Okay? One's holy, one's not. But what's the difference in a practical sense between a rav and a rebbe? A rebbe. So you find by Yeshua, when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that he's passing away, so Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, you know, pick a leader. So Hashem says, Kaches Yeshua, make him the leader. Ish asher ruach bay, a man with a spirit. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, and the Ramban elaborates on that a lot over there, later on in Chumash. Shayahelech kineged ruchay shal kol echad ve'echad. He was able, what does it mean, ish asher ruach bay? What does it mean, man with a spirit? What does that mean? He was able to deal with each individual person on that person's particular level. For instance, when you ask a shayla by a rav, is it kosher or treif? Yeah? It's one answer for everybody. It's one answer for everybody. For everybody, it's kosher, but for everybody, it's treif. It's not, for you, it's kosher, for you, it's treif. It doesn't work like that. In halacha, the rav doesn't have to know your, what's called in Hebrew, tchunus ha-nefesh. He doesn't have to know your personality. He doesn't have to know your character. It's either allowed or not allowed. It's either mutter or also. It's kosher or treif. That's it.
There's different levels too.
Yeah, but in the bottom line, that's what chumra. Could be machme, not me. But it's either desecration of Shabbos or it's not desecration of Shabbos, right? If writing is forbidden for you, it's forbidden for him. On Shabbos, right? There's no different halacha because you have a different character trait than he. It doesn't matter. Everybody's the same. When it comes to soul issues, like Moshe Rabbeinu Yeshua, a leader of a generation, over there, two people can ask the same question and get two different answers. Why? Because according to, in Hebrew, the word is tchunas ha-nefesh, which is, right? Tchunas ha-nefesh is, I don't know if there's a proper word in English, character, I don't know. Whatever. You say the good word in English?
Maybe it's character.
A character, something like that. No two people are the same. So what's good for you is not good for you. I mentioned there was a story many years ago, here in LA, I mentioned this a number of times. A boy and a girl were going out for a shidduch. They both wrote into the Rebbe. He wrote, I want to marry this girl, and the girl wrote, I want to marry him. Yeah? Probably, that's what we do. He got an answer, yes. She got an answer, no. Isn't this? He got an answer, yes. She got an answer, no.
Wait, to the same Rebbe?
Yeah, same Rebbe. They didn't go Rebbe happy. They wrote into the Rebbe. They wrote into the Rebbe. I was involved in the story. He got an answer yes, and she got an answer no. See, what is that supposed to mean? I mean, it takes two to make it.
He should marry her, and she should not.
She's
marry
right for him.
So he wrote him to the Rebbe, and he asked the Rebbe, "I don't understand. How did you answer me yes and her no? It's like, I mean, it takes two to make it happen. So it should be no for both and yes for both. When he me yes and her no." So the Rebbe answered him, "Do you in Hebrew?" But the Rebbe asked, "Do you then not know that something could be masim, something could be good for one side, but not for the other?" In other words, the Rebbe tell him, "For you, she's good, but for her, you're not good." In other words, every person, every nefesh, is different. What's good for you may not be good for you. Because every person, when it comes to the kavana, the neshama of a mitzvah, the intent of the mitzvah, the kavana of the mitzvah, every Jew is different. And therefore the Torah is, and that's why the Torah repeats this 12 times. The Mefarshim, like we said, if it's the same carbon, say, okay, this day was this, 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 make it one pasuk with all the names and finished. 12 times the same psukim over and over and over and over again. So one answer is because it was very precious and it was chashuv, dedication of the Mishkan. And another answer is, based on what the Medrash says, that no two people had the same carbon. Physically, it was the same. Spiritually, it was completely different. Yehuda was Malchus, creation of the world. Yisachar is Theta, and so on and so forth. So everything's different. Okay. So, Bayem Hasheni, Hikrin, now we're just going to basically read through them. Hikrin is Karbanai Kaz Kesav Achish Leshem Meim Mishkala. Again, 130. Mizrakachat Kesav, one silver basin of, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, Mizrakachat Kesav, one bowl. Shibim Shekel B'Shekel is weighed 70. Shekels, Shneim Aleim, both of them were full. Says below Hashem Lemincha, fine flour. Kaf Achas Asar Zohav, as one spoon, one ladle of gold. Menach Teres full of potatoes. Parecha Ben Boker, Ayelecha Kevesecha Ben Shnosu Liela. Sri Zimecha Lachatas, one gold for a sin offering. Uzevach Hashlamim. For the Shlamim carbon, they brought two cattle, Elam Chamisha, five rams, and Tudim Chamisha, five he goats, male goats, Kvazim Yishan Chamisha, the carbon, the Sana Ben Sur. Okay, now we go through Bayem HaShlishi, I'm not going to even read the Psukim, Bayem HaRavi, Bayem HaChamishi, Bayem HaShishi, okay, and Bayem HaShvi. Now here's interesting, Bayem HaShvi, there's a whole controversy. In the Medrash it says, and the Tzedukim had a problem with this, but it says in the Medrash, Bayem HaShvi was Shabbos. Okay? Because you make a Cheshbon, any way you want to look at it, there are 12 people bringing a Korban. Thursday, second day, third day, 12 days. So obviously there was a Shabbos in the middle. But the Medrash says that Nachshon Ben Amidadov brought it on Sunday. His Korban was Sunday. Monday, Tuesday. So Bayem HaShvi is the tribe of Ephraim. So he says, why? So the Medrash says, because Yosef in Mitzrayim was very careful about Shabbos. And because Yosef was very careful about Shabbos, Ephraim was Yosef's son, the Shevet Ephraim, had the schus to bring it on Shabbos. Now the question is, how they're allowed to bring a korban on Shabbos? You can't desecrate Shabbos with a personal korban? And the answer is, but the Gemara says, Hayroh Shah, Hashem said so. That's it. There's normally not. You can't bring a private personal korban on Shabbos, only the communal korbanis. But in this case, Hashem said they should bring it on Shabbos.
Even for building up Mishkan, they stopped bringing it on Shabbos.
Correct. Correct. The building of the Mishkan did not desecrate Shabbos. But Hashem said these korbanis do. And again, just to show you, what's the Kadosh Kesef by Ephraim? So the Medrash says it was because Yaakov uprooted his hand from Menashe and put it on Ephraim. Mm-hmm. Remember, he took his hand up. So Ka'ara comes with Akad. He uprooted his hand and put it. So again, everything over here has another name, and that's why Ephraim was on the seventh day, Menashe was on the eighth day, because Ephraim was greater than Menashe, so he came first. And also the way they traveled. But it's interesting, there's a Medrash that also says, if you look, it's very interesting, when I was looking at this before, every one of the Nesiim's names basically had Hashem's name in it. Look, Nesanel is Nosankel. Okay? The next one is Eliav ben Chelein. Keli is God, right? Keli Av. The next one is Eli Tzur ben Shteir. Next one was Shlumi El, which is Shalom Kel. El Yosef ben Du'el is Du'el.
El Yosef.
Right, El Yosef. El Yosef, right? No, but the first, and Eli Shama ben Amihud, Gamliel ben Pedatzur. Avidon ben Gideon, I didn't figure that, whatever that one is. Achiezer ben Amishadoi, Imishadoi. It's interesting, the names of the Nesiim, all of them, Kamat, have Hashem's name in them. I mean, I don't know if it's coincidental, it's not, nothing's coincidental, but it's just an interesting point that they're all, because some of the Mefarshim explain, based on the Korbanis, that this is Eli Shama, he heard Hashem, Ben Amihud is Amihud. Imi Hoid with me is glory. They play with and they get connected to the carbon that they brought. And in fact, it says by Binyamin, what was by Binyamin Ka'aras Kesef? Because Rachel, his mother, was Akeres Abayis. So that was the Ka'ara that he brought. By Adam Rish, by Nachshon, it was about Adam Rishon's 130 years. Each one, they bring down a different meaning of each one of these korbanos. Okay, so Shmini was Menashe, Chi was Binyamin, Asiri was Dan, Ashtei Asiyim was the Shevet of Asher. And the 12th day was Naphtali. Okay, so again, all the korbanos physically were the same, spiritually completely different. Okay, and 772, Pasuk Pei Dalet. Now, okay, so now the Torah says like this. Zeis Chanukas HaMizbeach, this is the dedication of the Mizbeach, B'yem HiMoshech Eisei, on the day they anointed it, Me'eis Nisi Yisrael. And now the Torah makes the sum total. Karis Kasev Shtei Mesrei. How many bold? 12. Mizr Kechasev Shtei Mesar. 12 silver basins. Kapi Zov Shtei Mesrei. 12 gold ladles.
Who's doing this one?
No. This is the sum total, the Sach HaKol of all the others. So the Mefarshim ask, if each tribe brought one, and there were 12 tribes, so every kid knows that equals 12. Okay? So why in the world does the Torah have to give us some total to tell us 12 times 1 is 12, and 12 times 5 is 60? Like, without that we wouldn't figure it out. Why is the Torah some totaling this whole thing over here? So he says like this. The Medrash says, it wants to show that by Hashem, they were all the same. Even though, and this is another remarkable concept, even though each one had a different kavana, even when every person had different intents, Hashem loved everybody's intent anyway. Like there's a rule, Rashi quotes it from the Gemara, by Korbanos. Echad amarba, the echad amamit, whether you bring a big korban, a little korban, what Hashem really cares is that you have the kavana, that you mean it, what you're doing. It could be less, more, as long as the sincerity and the kavana is there, that's what Hashem wants. So Hashem is telling us now that even though all the Nesim, this one had a Torah, and this one had business, and this one had this, and this one had this, nevertheless, by Hashem, they were all the same. And the Medrash takes it a step further, that even though they were brought on 12 different days, so you could say this one is first, second, third, Hashem says no, they're all equal. Because it says before, that all 12 brought their korbanos to Moshe Rabbeinu on the same day. They all brought their korbanos on the same day. What happened? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what to do. Hashem said, Nasi Echad Layim, Nasi Echad Layim. One per day. So one could think first, Yehud is more important. This is let. Shem says, no, the sum total is 12, they're all equal. They're all the same. Everything is the same.
This reason that Hashem say everybody being the same, that look at.
Correct. They had everything exactly the same. That everything was exactly the right measurements and everything. Then he says like this. The Medrash says, sounds a little funny, but there are seven major things in the world that are 12. Okay, because if you count how many things of 12 they brought, were seven. If you look at the Cheshbon, there are seven things that they brought of 12. One each was 12. He says like this. There is 12 constellations, 12 mazalis, 1 second, 12 chadashim of the sun, 12 chadashim of the moon, 12 shvatim, 12 leaders. He says 12 fundamental primary limbs of a person. And the lechem upon him had 12 breads. So he says, the Medrash says, why is it emphasizing the seven things that they brought 12 of altogether? Because this corresponds with the 12 fundamental things of the world. The solar system, which the Goyim go by, the lunar system that the Jews go by, the body, which is the fundamental purpose of creation, you know, all these constellations, everything in the number of 12.
The number 12 is a good number?
Every number is good.
Seven.
Every number is good. 11. There's no Friday the 13th in Torah.
It's coming up this week.
What?
This week? 11 is good?
Every number, 11 is good.
We heard 11 is not good. You heard 11 is not
good. 13. The Ketedus had 11.
Huh?
The Ketedus. Achad also summoned Manam Hayiva.
You're all missing.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's 11 years old.
14.
Okay. So he says like this. Shleishim made akor achas. Each bow was 130 shekels. The shivim mizra ka echad. And each basin was 70. Kol kesev akelim. So what was the sum total of all the kesev? Alpayim v'arba meir shekel akedish. 2400. In the Shekel HaKadosh. Then he says, Kapei Zohav Shtei Masrei, the 12 golden ladles filled with Ketedus. Each ladle was 10 of the Shekel. Kozaka Zahava Kapeis. So again, if there were 12 times 10, it was 120. Kol HaBakar La'ela, how many bakar did they bring for the Korban? Shnei Masar part him 12, because they brought one part per person. Enim Shnei Masar, so there have been all these animals were also 12. And all the cattle of the shlamim esim rabba apadim, because they brought two per person. Elim shishim atudim shishim, because the rams and the he goats each one brought five, and there were 12 tribes of 60. Kvasim neishana shishim zeis chanukas hamizbeach. This is the Chanukah Samizbeach, B'yem Himashach Esei, okay, in the day that they anointed the Mizbeach. So this is the sum total of all these Kabbanis. Now the last pasuk says like this, V'vei Meshel Eil Meid, when Meshel Rabbeinu came to the Eil Meid, now that Hashem's glory came down into the Beis HaMikdash, right? Now they came down into the Beis HaMikdash, so it says, Ladaba Ita, to speak with Hashem. Vayishma Asakul. He heard the voice, Medabit Elav, speaking to him. Me'ala Kapedus, from on top of the cover, Asher al Areino Edus, which was on top of the ark. I'll explain this in a second. Me'ben Shnei Akruvim, from in between the two Kruvim. Vayidabit Elav, and Hashem spoke to him. Okay, meaning as follows. When Meshe Rabbeinu came to speak to Hashem, or Hashem called Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to him, where did Hashem speak to him from? So the pasuk over here says, "Ubevei Moshe Eloi Meid L'Dabet Itay." When he came to speak, where did he hear the voice from? From the Kapedus. Now the Kruvim. There was the Ark, right, Dorin? At top of the Ark were the Kruvim, right, the faces of the two kids. So the voice came out from in between the Kruvim. That's where he heard the voice coming from. Okay? Now Rashi over here asks this as a few places. There's two Ksuvim of Mechishim Zeh. Two Psukim contradict one another. One Pasuk says, Vaydabeyev Me'el Me'ed. Chutz LaPerechus, outside the Perechus. Another Pasuk says, V'dibarti Yitcho Me'ala Kaperis. I'm going to talk to you from the Kaperis. One Pasuk says, outside the Kaperis. One Pasuk says, on top of the Kaperis. So this one comes and makes the Yichriya B'nehem. He heard it coming from in between the Kruvim. As Rashi says, that the voice came down from heaven through the Kruvim, a loud voice, but the only one that heard it was Meshe Rabbeinu. He was was the only one that heard it.
Moshe Rabbeinu never went to Kodesh HaKadosh, only stayed outside the curtain?
When Hashem spoke to him, yes. Only Aaron went in on Yom Kippur. That's it. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go into the Kodesh HaKadosh. Even then.
I have a question.
1 second. He says, Me'el Meid, Moshe Rabbeinu stood outside the room. Okay? The Rashi says, Moshe Ba El Eil Meid. Okay? And Hashem spoke, hear the voice coming out. And that's what Hashem, but only he heard it and nobody else. What does it mean, Midaber Eilov? Okay, the Pasuk says, Midaber Eilov. So Rashi says, Midaber is passive. It doesn't want to say in the Pasuk that God spoke to him. It wanted to be like, he heard the voice from Hashem. But Hashem, so to speak, like it says, and created Shemaila, that like he spoke, so like Hashem was speaking to himself, this is what Rashi explains in the Medrash. Hashem spoke to himself, and Moshe Rabbeinu happened to hear it. What?
I'm just curious, it says it was a loud voice. Since the miracle was that only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to hear it, why did it have to be a loud voice?
Because Hashem wanted to show that it wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu heard it because he was the closest and nobody else. It was a voice that everybody could hear.
So that was part of the miracle.
Right. Okay. That only Moshe Rabbeinu heard it because only he was great. In fact, the Baal HaTurim says, and the words, Mibein Shnei HaKruvim, okay, the first letter, Mibein Shnei HaKruvim, is Moshe. The first letter, Mibein, Shnei, HaKruvim, is Moshe. To teach us that Moshe Rabbeinu was as important as the Kruvim. As the Kruvim that were on top of the Aron Kodesh.
How is that first
letter
Moshe?
The acronym. The acronym.
How do we describe that it's Moshe? How do we come to that?
No, the word Mibein, Shnei, HaKruvim, the first letters are Mibein.
But this time talking to Hashem is different when he was in Egypt. What's the difference?
It was a different talking. This, once the Mishkan was built, Hashem only spoke to him from this place.
So in Egypt, is it directly or what?
Yeah, wherever it was, wherever Hashem spoke to him.
I'm sorry, Rabbi. I'm sorry. I still don't understand. What? How do you get Moshe from the
Beish? Look at the word.
Look at the word here. The Mem.
Oh,
it's
Moshe.
The last one.
Okay. Yes.
All the commandments afterward was done through the Mishkan.
All the commandments were done through the Mishkan. Correct. Any time of the 40 years after Har Sinai, every time Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu was through this place, Ben Shnei HaKruvim.
For a long time, Hashem didn't speak to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Right.
Why was that?
Because the Jews sinned. And when the Jews sinned, Hashem said, if the Jews sinned, you don't have the schus to listen to me speak.
Between the two.
Until the whole generation, if you know, if you just look in the Chumash, yeah? Historically, the Chumash. Koyach, okay, was in the first year that the Jews left Egypt. Okay? Balak was the first year, the Shlach, the Meraglim was the first year. Right? So Rashi says, close to 40 years Hashem did not speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. If you look, how much is there from the story of Korach until Dvarim, which happened in the 40th year? There's very little going on. There are no mitzvahs given for 38 years.
All the oral Torah was learned at the beginning?
Everything was learned at Har Sinai, and then, but not mitzvahs that were given to the Jewish people. Because as long as the Jewish people were sinning, and they had to die in the Midbar, Hashem did not speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. Look in Chumash, you don't find any speeches to Moshe Rabbeinu, almost for 40 years.
So they didn't travel either?
They traveled a little bit here and there. But that the cloud came and moved, and then that's when the Jewish people moved.
They get money every year without any connection?
Hashem did not speak to him. Yeah, there was no connection.
How about the water? The problem of water?
That was in the 40th year after Miriam died. After Miriam died, there was no more water. Yeah. Right? That was in Parshas Chukas. Right? Chukas is already in the 40th year. Right? Chukas, Balak was also in the 40th year. Yeah. Okay? So from the story of Korach, which happened in the first year, or the second year maybe, until the 39th year or so, there was no mitzvahs in the Torah. There's no mention anywhere in the Torah of things going on in that those 38 years.
What were they doing?
Basketball.
Marbles.
Okay. Balayscha, let's go. Okay, 774.
Cross country
Shalem. Vaydaber Hashem Omer Shalemer. Okay. So, what? We traveled. We finished. What do you mean? This is the.
These two commandments in the book of Vayikra, Hashem and
Moshe. That was all in the first year. When did the Meraglim go to. Right, the Meraglim was in the first year. That's in the middle of Bamidbar. Right? Then Korach happened right after the Meraglim. Chukas, the next parsha, was already when Miriam died, which was in the 40th year. So it wasn't that much time that Hashem was speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. That means the end of, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Starting from Parshas Bay. From Bay to the end of Shmeis, the whole Vayikra and half of Bamidbar happened in the first year of going out of Egypt. And then Chukas, Balak, Pinchas, all that happened in the 40th year. So there was a big jump of time.
39 years?
Hmm?
Like 39 years?
38, 39 years that nothing happened.
Nothing
happened? Nothing happened.
Not recorded.
Right, not recorded. I'm sure Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah, and I'm sure, but not things that we heard mitzvahs that came from Hashem that Moshe Rabbeinu said.
So they could have conversation.
Who?
Moshe Rabbeinu.
Maybe he had, but not anything recorded. The Medrash says, the Gemara says, do you know how many Nevi'im there were thousands and thousands and thousands of prophets that the Jews had? I mean, prophets, not the yokels. Prophets. So why don't we have only, today, also 12 Nevi'im and a few here, Yeshaya.
That's all the writings we find.
So it says, the Medrash says, Nevuah shehutzrach l'deiris, a Nevuah, a prophecy, which was relevant for all generations, Nichtava was written. Nevuahs that were only for that particular time, that are totally irrelevant for all future generations, they were not recorded. So there are thousands of Nevuahs, thousands and thousands and thousands of Nevuahs, that we don't know because it's not relevant today. That's why the rule is, anything that the Torah records, okay, anything that the Torah records is of importance for all generations. I don't know if it says anywhere, but it's very possible Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu for 39 years. But those things were not relevant for all future generations, so he didn't become a part of Torah. But anything which was relevant for the future of the Jewish people was written. If it wasn't relevant, it wasn't written.
Quick question. There was a book that was written, there was a history of the wars of the Jews or something like that.
Yosifun, that was in the second Beis Hamikdash.
In the Chumash it mentions that there was a book for remembrance for all the wars.
Yeah, but that was, the Jews don't have that. The Jews don't have that. That was in the Goyish.
What?
No, not Chumash, no, not in Torah. No. Okay, Vayidaber Hashem Meishe Lemer. Hashem said to Meishe, Daber alad and speak to Aaron, Vamarta, Elav, and say to him like this. Baleischa Saneres, when you will light the candles. So what happened over here? Rashi quotes in the Medrash. What's the connection between this and the previous parasha? Aaron saw all the Nasiim brought Korbanos. The only tribe left out? Levi. The Levium were left out. So Aaron felt bad. He said, what is this? Everybody's dedicating the Mishkan. And we're not. So Hashem said to him, Rashi says, Chol shos daite, shlehoye imayim b'chanukah, loy hu v'loy shifte. Right? Aaron felt bad. He wasn't there. The tribe wasn't there. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rashi says, Hashem said to him, Chayacha, I swear, shalach g'dayla mishalahem. Yours is even greater than theirs. Why? Because you're going to light the menorah. Okay? That's what the Medrash says. So basically, what did Hashem tell him over here? Tell Aaron not to worry. He's going to even be better than them. They're bringing korbanos, and you're going to light the menorah. So the Mefarshim ask on Mitzvah. Aaron brought korbanos every day. Aaron brought korbanos shmini, ve'yibiyem ha-shmini, v'shchedesh nissen. Aaron brought korbanos. Every day he brought the ketores. Every day he led the menorah. Every day he did avodas in the base. What's he feeling bad about? They brought one korban. Yehuda brought one korban. Yeshimon brought one korban. Reuven brought one korban. Aaron HaKohen did things every single day. And what's Hashem answering in the menorah? Why didn't he say, you look, you bring the ketores every day? Why is he picking the menorah? So the simple answer says, because Haneda Salolu Einem Betelum La'ilum. Says, well, this is a hint to Chanukah. That this is what the Medrash says. Hashem says to Aaron, listen, they're bringing korbanos, but one day, there's not going to be any korbanos. When the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, that's it. You're lighting the menorah, even when there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's Chanukah menorah. And because it's a Chanukah menorah, that's forever. Hanedas halalu einam b'teilim la'ilam. And it says in the Medrash that even when Mashiach comes, when it says, kol ha-me'ad is b'teilim, all the me'adim are going to become nullified, except Chanukah and Purim. So Hashem is telling Moshe to tell Aaron, I want to tell you something. You don't even worry about it. Because yours is permanent. The menorah of the Beis HaMikdash in Chanukah, which represents the kindling of the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, that's going to be permanent. There's an explanation in Chassidus. What does it mean? Kol ha-me'ad is b'teilus chutz mi-Chanukah Purim. So it says, not God forbid that we're not going to have Pesach anymore. Because in the Haggadah we say, L'havi l'meis ha-Mashiach, that even when Mashiach comes, we're going to talk about Tzeitzcha Meretz Mitzrayim. What it means, Chassidus and Kabbalah explain like this. Mashiach comes, there's going to be a very, very great revelation of godliness. All the revelations of Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkos are going to be secondary. Like if you have daylight and you light a candle, so the Gemara has an expression, Shraga b'tihara mayhani. A candle in daylight, what does it do? It's worthless. Not Chas v'Shalom Pesach won't exist. The revelation of Mashiach is so great that the Kedusha of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos are not going to be noticeable. Chanukah, Purim are so great that even when Mashiach comes, they're going to be lit up. They're going to be so great and powerful that even then you're going to see them. Because each one has a unique thing that the other Chagim don't have. Poor mechanic.
So I didn't get the part of why Aaron was upset.
He says everybody's bringing korbanos and Levi's not represented.
For the dedication,
I'm talking about.
What do you mean Levi's not represented?
But he was from Shevet Levi. Oh, okay. So he says all the 12 tribes brought, except Levi. There's no korban from Levi. So Aaron said, 1 minute. Levi wasn't represented.
I'm a Levi.
Right? He says, so Hashem said, don't worry. Yours is even greater than them. But there's a very interesting...
So if Levi didn't bring anything, what was the more special?
Because they're going to kindle the menorah.
That was Aaron was doing that.
He's Levi. He's a Levi God.
Aaron was the head of the tribe of Levi.
Where is it? Oh, 1 second. He says like this. Shh. Okay. He says, this is a hint. Where do you see a hint of Chanukah in this pasuk? Okay, kindling the menorah. Where do you see it? So he says like this. It says, It says, Baleis chasaneres, and then it says, Lahalis ner tomid. In Parshas Tetzaveh, when it speaks about lighting the menorah, it says, Lahalis ner tomid. Also about kindling the menorah. Here, it says, Baleis chasaneres. Okay? So he says, that's Beis Hillel's opinion. You start with Ner. You know the argument, Bisham, Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says the first night you light 1, 2, 3, 4, go up, and Bisham says 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, right? Down or up. So he says like this, the Baal Turim says, in Parshas Tetzav it says, Lahalis Ner, Tamid, singular. And here it says, Baalos Chasaneres. That means you start off lighting 1, and then it goes up to more. Bishamai, he says, is first it says Neres, and then it says Ned. One second, where is that? Ner Tamid. Yeah, because he said, Lahalis Ner Tamid. Is the Rosh Teva stands for Tated, to go down. It's just interesting. It goes, Beshame and Beis Hillel, both in this hint of Chanukah. But the question is, okay, so it says like this, Baalos Chasaneres, there's a lot to talk about over here, we'll just start it and then we'll leave the rest for next week. Baalos Chasaneres. Your why? So? I'm calling. Anyway, it says like this, Bahalois Chosaneris. Now, what's the definition of Bahalois Chos? Literally means when you elevate, right? In Hebrew, how do you say lighting? Lahadlik. Okay, that's what in Hebrew you say. Lahadlik ne'er Shabbos, Lahadlik ne'er Chanukah, whatever it is. He doesn't say behadlik, whatever the word would be in Hebrew. To light the menorah, it says ba'aleischa. So Rashi says in the simple meaning of it is because the flame goes up. When you light a flame. Yeah. Ba'aleischa means that it shall have as ela me'aleha, Rashi says. You ever notice when you light a candle, it takes a few seconds for the whole wick to become inflamed?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So it says when Aaron lit the menorah, it had to be in a way, ba'aleis chasaneres. He couldn't just light it and move his hand away. He had to keep his hand there, Rashi says, ashrite shall have as ela me'aleha. Okay? Another thing, Rashi says, but the Gemara says this.
So what it says, he had to keep his hand there
until
what?
Until the whole wick became inflamed. The second thing it says, that Baal Eischa teaches us that there was a stool. There was a stool that Aaron stood on to light the menorah. Because it says, Baal Eischa, when you go up, Eliyah says that going up to light the menorah. In a deeper sense, this is a whole different story. We're going to leave that, I mean, this aspect of it.
Oh, Rabbi. What? Is it possible when it says to go up to light the menorah that it wasn't a step, that you just elevated spiritually?
Yeah, but we're going to learn about that exactly next week, what that means in this whole concept of Baalos Chasaneres. Another thing, the Ramban over here also elaborates on this point that we said before, why was Aaron feeling bad when he had so many different Avedis in the Beis HaMikdash. But he also goes into the thing that represents Chanukah, which in that sense is even greater than all of the other korbanos and everything else. Okay, you know what? Next week, Mishnah, we'll get into this.